So, good morning, guys. Just to take out the time in your busy schedule just to visit our small session today, called Onboarding to OMS, Cloud Integrated Backup with Microsoft System Center and Azure Backup. The agenda for today will be somewhat like this, but inspire me to do differently, and I will. The first thing on the agenda here, as you might see, is OMS and Azure Backup Overview. We'll just do a small overview on the why you might want to consider Azure Backup as a solution. Then I'll take you through a few scenarios where you might use it. And then I'll do basically a whole bunch of demos showing you all kinds of different solutions with the Azure Backup. In the end, I will discuss some limitations on the solution and show you how pricing is worked out for this cloud service, and we'll wrap this up hopefully within the hour. But I do have a lot of content with some Q&A, so if you already have some questions, feel free to put them in the IM window. I'll check that out later as well, to give me a start on some questions you might have. For now, if you want to know who's talking to you for the next 56 minutes, this looks somewhat like me, at Bert Wolters at Twitter. I'm a consultant for Innovative, and I do my blogging at azureman.be or .nl or .com. They all end up at the same website. And I also do some blogging for www.operationsmanagementsuite.org. I'm involved in the System Center user group in the Netherlands and also in another community venture called Experts Live. Check that out if you have the time. So let's get started on OMS and Azure. Here we go. So for the people who don't know the Operations Management Suite yet, it's a compilation of a lot of Microsoft cloud products used to deliver IT insights for log analytics, for instance. You can do custom dashboards with that. You might have heard that you can improve operational efficiency through automation. We use Azure services to accomplish that goal, doing workflow and DSC based automation with graphical and PowerShell authoring tools. We do have some security and compliance stuff in place in the form of malware assessments, system update assessments, and so on. And relatively new is the business continuity part of OMS. It consists of site recovery, Azure Site Recovery, which can also be used for migration purposes to onboard to IaaS services in Azure. But the thing we'll talk about today is backup, how to back up your stuff and get rid of those awful tapes. So, what's the relationship with OMS then? Well, OMS is a licensing thing. What do you see as an IT professional when you open up OMS? This is one of the dashboards from OMS. And you see on the top left corner there's an AD assessment from Active Directory. And this Active Directory is fairly okay. So we have a few low priority recommendations. We've passed a number of 113 checks. And the same goes for malware assessments, where five computers do need attention. But right in the center of it, I've positioned the backup. The backup feature is monitored through the backup vault system. And you see that this particular backup vault, the MSPG Prod Backup Vault, has one server backing up to it and currently has 490 gigs of data written to it. So, is backup a priority for IT? Yes, it has been for a number of years now, and it still is a priority this year. It's in the top three, even. So, CIOs, CTOs are searching to improve data backup and recovery in their businesses. Is that something I find with my customers? Yes, I do. But the traditional approach could result in this mess, the broken down tapes. So people are looking out for a new solution, and mainly in the north of Europe, we are very lucky to have a very good networking infrastructure with high bandwidth connections towards the internet and therefore towards Azure. So we can steer away from the traditional approach of backing up our data. We can, in fact, do a cloud backup approach. As I've said before, the most important thing there is bandwidth and connectivity towards the internet, because all of the data can potentially be backed up to cloud. We have a few approaches there. We can just back up to cloud as being a storage target. That'll require an on-prem infrastructure. You'll still have license costs for Windows, and you'll need backup software to get there. If you need to restore data, meaning get data from Azure, you'll pay for egress data. All data being sent to Azure is free of charge, but once you go download data from Azure, you'll pay some form of egress costs. So we have multiple approaches. So we can also do backup software running in IaaS. Well, then you'll need a virtual machine running in IaaS, which approximately will set you back this much money. You'll still need to pay for the license cost for Windows, and the license cost for your backup software in that VM. There is a limitation to storage there, which needs to be 32 terabytes on a maxed out VM. To use 32 terabytes of storage in a VM, you'll need one of the biggest VMs available in Azure, therefore being a very expensive VM. So, what is our other option? Well, Azure Backup, which is backup as a service. Since I am from the Netherlands, I can say it's a BaaS service like a BaaS. It's a pay-as-you-go model where you need little to no backup infrastructure on premises or in Azure VMs. You have no additional compute costs there. And the good thing here is that you will not have egress costs when you do restore. I'll just let that sink in for a minute. So normally, when we offer Azure services to our customers have to pay for data they take out of Azure. With Azure Backup, the price for restores, meaning egress data, is incorporated in the monthly pay you do for Azure Backup. Cool feature? I think so, and therefore is very low-hanging fruit for our customers. A high percentage of self-service, and we can centrally manage that backup from the cloud. What we can't do is take those backups and access them, because as you will see further down this presentation, all backups are encrypted. So, Azure Backup is a really growth success story. We've got a few months ago, because this is really old data, more than 25,000 active customers, more than 30,000 IaaS VMs protected. And since last week, this number can rise dramatically. I'll show you at the end of this webinar a view at the future of Azure Backup, and I hope you'll start using it as well. So we can say Azure Backup is an established service already. Tape versus cloud, TCO comparison. Don't take my word for it that cloud in the end is cheaper, but someone called Gartner, I'm not sure if he's a really big name in Belgium. Oh wait, Gartner the agency. Yes, that's a worldwide renowned name. Did some research and they found that cloud backup is really a cheaper solution. Why? Because of the logistical nightmare tape backup can be. You know, the offsite storage thing with the suitcase with tapes being sent offsite and handling that one with restores and so on and so forth. So Cloud is the winner here. I can say for all of your customers that cloud is the way to go. Why? Because some legislation can prevent your customers from storing data in the cloud. What we can do is really specifically target which region our data gets sent to. So, which flavors do we have with Azure Backup? Well, it's been an interesting journey with Azure Backup. Currently, we have four flavors, five actually, but the fifth is not about your on-premises data. The first one that came out was Azure Backup, which was an addition to Windows Server Backup. You know, the big brother of NT Backup from a few years back. So, what could we do with that? We could back up files and folders from a Windows Server operating system towards Azure. That worked fine, but wasn't really an enterprise-ready solution. After that, we got new functionality when we had the Azure Backup feature added to System Center Data Protection Manager. So we leveraged the power of System Center Data Protection Manager, but with the addition of backup to cloud. So where a normal DPM installation would do a disk to disk to tape backup for longer retention periods, we could now do a disk to disk to cloud backup. Legislative, meaning by law, people are mostly obliged to have a 7 year or a 10 year retention period. Microsoft has stated that they can ensure a backup retention of 99 years. So if any of you guys already have grandchildren, I'd like to extend my Azure subscription to them to see if they can check my backup in a few years. So, after the addition to System Center Data Protection Manager, Microsoft cleared Azure Backup for use with client OSs, meaning clients, Windows 10 for instance, could backup again files and folders towards an Azure Backup vault. Well, this was a small step somewhere in between, because what people really wanted was to do Azure backups, but SMB companies didn't want to have to pay for the System Center Data Protection Manager license. Because when only using DPM for backups, the DPM license is really an expensive license to have for just a backup facility. So what Microsoft did was last December was to release Microsoft Azure Backup Server, which is kind of like DPM, but then DPM Lite. DPM, but without the integration with, for instance, tape libraries. You can, in fact, do the same backups with MOPS server, Microsoft Azure Backup Server, then if you would do System Center Data Protection Manager, meaning you can do your Exchange database backups, your SQL database backups, Hyper-V virtual machines, and so on and so forth, based on VSS snapshots. So if we'll take these findings, these flavors of backups towards scenarios, we'll find a few. So if you do on-premises backups, in the enterprise, you would do SCDPM, System Center Data Protection Manager, under the System Center license. Now with Azure Backup Server, you can do in the SMB the same form of on-premises disk-to-disk backups. Up is a hybrid backup, meaning you'll extend it into Azure. DPM, again for the enterprise, in combination with Azure Backup. And the SMB solution there is the Azure Backup Server backed by the Azure Backup Agent. And then, as another flavor to this entire menu of backup possibilities, is the IaaS backup feature. The IaaS backup feature means that VMs running in Microsoft Azure can be backed up using functionality in the platform itself. So that has been changing the last week. So I had to adapt my slide deck from last week. That'll be interesting at the end of the session. So what Microsoft is basically saying, cloud is currently a tape replacement. Why? Because customer need offsite backups for compliance, and cloud backups are more offsite than just to store the tape backup in the other wing of your company's building, what happens at some of my customers. And what they also need is long-term retention for compliancy. Well, I think 99 years is kind of long-term, Mish. Don't you think? Okay. So the enterprise hybrid backup will eliminate tape infrastructure. Please don't implement that hasty, like one of my customers did. He was really excited about cloud backup, and he decided just to take out all of his tape infrastructure. No, customer, you still need to be able to go 7 years back in backups. So leave the tape infrastructure for now. Just don't use it anymore other than for restores. The RTO is better, and total cost of ownership is smaller. And we can still do item level restores, as I'll show you in an upcoming demo. The key features then, I won't read out all of these to you. You can read these slides later when you receive those. They'll be spread among you fairly soon. So it's a simple, familiar user interface when you've been using System Center Data Protection Manager. It's in the same user interface, so no extra additions in there. It's just a small setup. The recovery experience is integrated in there, so no matter what kind of recovery you want to do from on-premise disk or from Azure, it's the same workflow. And still, we have the Windows PowerShell command line backing. The backups are block level and incremented. So that means only the changed blocks are sent to the cloud. And you can have different point in time versions of the backup, as we'll see later on. The data is compressed, it's encrypted, and we can do quality of service. That should be, we should do quality of service settings for Azure backup. If you don't do those quality of service settings, meaning you can you can use 10 megabits on the line during the day and 70 megabits on the external line throughout the weekend, Azure backup will fill up your lines towards the internet. It'll grab as much capacity as it can. So make sure you, when you use this connectivity, you use the quality of service. When data is found not to be good anymore, when it's corrupt, then the backup mechanism will detect this, and in a next attempt for a backup, we'll try to restore that corruption. The retention policies then are fully configurable as to your likings. The on-premises part and the cloud part. Lots of customers are reducing their on-prem footprint to, let's say, 2 or 3 days. Just for people who threw away by accident, of course, some reports yesterday. They can restore that really, really fast. And after 3 days, everything else is stored in the cloud. So, with that, we've covered all enterprise hybrid cloud backup needs. We can back up all workloads. We have a minimal infrastructure for backup. And yes, we do have an offsite backup. We can restore from virtually anywhere. So with a disaster, we can really fast do a rebuild of our backup infrastructure and start restoring. And with OMS, we add the central monitoring of all our backup jobs. So how does it work? Well, I'd say almost too easy. Customers might not need us anymore. In case of big problems, of course, they'll call us again. But you'll start by logging into the Azure portal and creating an Azure Backup Vault. Download software in the form of agents or a complete Microsoft Azure Backup Server. And when registering your server with Microsoft Azure, afterwards you can start just backing up data. And again, as you can see in the picture here, all data sent to Azure is encrypted with a key you provide. Better said, you or your customer provides. When you are using this in conjunction with your customer, please make sure you and your customer both have a copy of the encryption key. If that encryption key gets lost, your backups are lost as well. You can't call Microsoft to restore that encrypted data stored in Microsoft. Well, you can, they just can't help you because you've encrypted that backup with your key. Microsoft doesn't have a copy of that key. Right, now on to the demos. How to create and configure a backup vault. And as I said, it's really, really, really easy. So in the Azure portal, we'll scroll down to recovery services. And as you can see, I have a number of vaults here. One being a backup vault type. This one is the one my DPM environment is talking to. I've got a file server vault here. I've got an IS vault. I've got a Microsoft Azure backup server vault. And down here, that's not a backup vault, because these are recovery services. This is an Azure Site Recovery Vault. Now, how to create a new vault? I press on New, Recovery Services, Backup Vault, Quick Create, IT Pro, Backup Vault, and I choose a region. As I said, I can choose where my data gets stored. As I am in the Netherlands, I will choose Western Europe, and it'll be under my MCT benefit subscription. And I'll go ahead and create that. Earlier, I've created the other vaults. Like this file server vault, currently has no servers backing up to it. When I look at configure, what can I configure? Well, one thing. The storage replication bit. This is something you should think about in advance. Should I make it geo-redundant, meaning my backups are saved 6 times in Microsoft Azure, divided across 2 data center regions, or will I make it locally redundant? This is something you can't change afterwards. Once the first server is registered to the backup vault, you can't change it anymore. Even when you unregister all servers, this will remain stale. So for now, I think 3 copies of my data as a backup data is sufficient, and I'll save this. It'll have a pricing impact because geo-redundant data is more expensive than locally redundant data being written. So yes, I think that's okay. And I'll return to the dashboard. On the dashboard, you'll have this quick glance section where you'll download the agent for Windows Server or DPM. You'll download the agent for Windows Server Essentials. Download the complete Microsoft Azure Backup Server or download your Vault credentials. These Vault credentials will make sure your agent you've installed is talking to the right vault. Earlier, cloud past, I'd say, you'd have to do complex things with uploading management certificates and so on and so forth. Those days are over. These Vault credentials are in fact a file containing information about your vault and the certificate. So, how do I install that client side? I'll just connect to my virtualized environment, and I've got a file server here. I've installed the Mars agent, the Microsoft Azure Recovery Services agent, and I can register my server with a backup vault. I won't use a proxy, but I will need some vault credentials. I've downloaded this morning. It's very important that you know that these credentials don't have an indefinite lifetime. These credentials are only good for about 2 days, then they expire. So if you're starting to work on a project on Monday morning, don't try and work ahead by downloading these credentials on a Friday afternoon. They won't work anymore. So I've currently loaded the Vault credentials. It says I'll talk to this backup vault in the region of Western Europe, and it's in this subscription. Once you've validated that, go ahead, and here's the important path, the encryption settings. You can, of course, just generate a passphrase, a minimum of 16 characters is needed, and a location where to save the passphrase. So, just being the good user I am, I'll put it right on my desktop and I'll register with the backup vault. So, this will take a few seconds. And then I'm allowed to connect. Now, if you want to do the quality of service thing, go to the properties and say throttling. You can enable internet bandwidth usage throttling for work hours, for instance. And you can define this any way you like. The same goes for DPM or the MOP server because they all use the same client to connect up to the Azure backup server, the Azure backup vault. All right. So we've configured the backup agent, we've configured the backup vault. Then a little thing about the on-premises to Azure deployment models. We've got the workload backup to Azure through a DPM or Azure Backup Server, disk to disk to cloud, and we've got the file folder backup to Azure, which can be a viable solution for smaller branch offices. And again, they can all talk to the same vault, but they don't need to. All right, what about the DPM and the MOPS server? Well, I'll switch back to my lab where I have DPM. So, how can I tell this is DPM? Because apparently they look the same. When I go into the management section and I scroll all the way down, I see here a little part that says libraries, meaning tape drives. Now, just to show them side by side, I'll grab out my MUPS server. I'm in the management section. It looks kind of the same, but under online, like I have here, I don't have the tape section. So it is actually DPM Lite. Right, so what have I protected? I've protected just a share on my file server. And it is okay. For the really participating viewers in my management, you just saw an exclamation mark here, meaning, hey, something requires my attention. And I've left it there for the last couple of weeks, so because I wanted you guys to see that. Why? Because even DPM itself is telling me that there's something wrong with my subscription connection. Let's see what it is. So what it in fact is, when I have a look here, is an Azure Backup subscription alert. It's telling me that I'll need to upgrade my version of the Azure Backup agent because there's a new version here. And because of the integration with products like System Center Operations Manager, this also could be an Operations Manager alert, alerting me to, hey, update your agent. Nice. And I immediately see something here I don't want to see, which is DPM couldn't back up some files. More information can be found here. And this is immediately something I'll address in the supportability later on. Now, as I've said, I've protected a file share. How can I recover that? Well, the logical thing is to go to recovery, and then I'll see all protected things there that I can recover. If I have a look in April, today's the 8th. So I can recover from online something. Well, to recover from something that I did yesterday isn't that exciting. Here you see that I have a daily retention period for a couple of weeks, and then I fall back into weekly backups. So if I go back to March 6th, I can still see here that recoverable item is the data share, and I can just drill down in there. And you see some backup commands here. I'll just recover this one. And it will now browse the metadata, so no active syncing is going on yet between Azure and on-premises. And I can just easily, just single item, recover this to the original location or somewhere I want to specify. I'll do that on the DPM server itself, which will take a little bit to populate these values, and I'll do that on a drive with a folder called Scratch. Do I want security settings applied from the original? It'll give me a nice summary of what I'm recovering. And since this is a single KB file, it won't take that long. It's currently transferring data from Azure back to on-premises and will recover the file in my VM, in the Scratch drive, in just a few moments. While we wait for that, I'll just show you two more things in the Microsoft Azure Backup server. We only have the online possibility, as I've said before, and here my agent is perfectly okay. And for the other things, they're all the same as you would expect them to be in DPM. The recovery bit, the protection bit, and the monitoring bit are all the same. So for now, I'll just let this recover and get back to the theoretical part of this webinar. So when we look at resources within the cloud, virtual machines in Azure, we can also back up them with the same resources in Azure. So we'll need again a backup vault. And what we'll do is do our VSS snapshot and write them to the Azure backup vault. So how does that look? Well, we'll head back into the Azure portal. We'll go back to recovery services, and I've created a vault especially for this purpose. So I'll go into my IaaS vault, and I see nothing is registered yet. So if I want to register items here for backups, I can see the Azure platform has found Azure Backup VM01, and it has been registered. Now, to protect it, just click Protect. Which one? That one. How do you want to protect it? You want to use a new policy or use the default one? For now, I'll create a new one. IT Pro Backup. I'll do a daily backup at 3 a.m. Yeah, that works for me. And then I'll give in a retention range, a daily, a weekly, a monthly, and a yearly retention. For now, 10 years works for me. And it'll create the job to configure the protection. It created the policy. So now when I look at policies here, you'll see I've got the IT Pro Backup, and that one is set to backup everything it touches at 3 a.m. So if you deploy new VMs, you can attach it to this existing policy as long as it's stored in that backup vault. So really easy, really convenient, using the same vaults we might use for on-premises. All right, why should we use this? Well, because we still think in traditional ways. We'd like to have backups of VMs running in Azure without the need for an Azure backup of a traditional backup infrastructure. Last year, even I was talking to customers, and they kind of thought that you need to back up Azure VMs with an on-premises backup environment. Well, you could do that, but again, egress costs would kill you then. So we've done this demo already. We're a little bit ahead of ourselves. But it's good because I've got some things to share with you which aren't supported. So what can't we do? We can't just create a new vault and then migrate our already existing data there. Okay, what are other things? As I've shown you, you can't choose another form of storage behind your Azure Backup Vault once you've got backups in there. So please make a good decision with your customer on those costs before you start. And third bullet there is if your encryption key is lost, you cannot recover your data anymore. So there again, please secure that key very well. Then, a couple of special drives and volumes need some special attention. Removal media. It must report as fixed before you can back them up. Read-only volumes. Those aren't supported. It must be writable. Offline volumes. The volume must be online. Network shares. No, we don't do nothing else but local shares, local volumes. BitLocker should be unlocked, and NTFS is the only thing we currently support. One addition to this, if you are doing IaaS backups to the backup vault, make sure that your VM still has access to the public path of the backup vault. Why? When backing up, metadata is sent through the public path. So I have a few customers who said, well, VMs in Azure, great idea, but I don't want them to have any internet connectivity. That's cool, unless you want them to be backed up correctly. You'll need some internet connectivity to watch Azure backup services to be able to distribute the metadata. So, what is not supported? Hard links, reparse points, encrypted and compressed volumes, and encrypted and sparse disks are also skipped. Then, ISVM backups. Load balance configurations are not supported at this time. Virtual machines with multiple NICs aren't supported. With a reserved IP, and again, you can all read this out loud for yourself during the weekend. And then, just 1 week ago, when we originally planned this webcast, I had this great momentum in my slide. The backup of V2 virtual machines is currently not supported, but work has started. And I then show you the Azure User Voice site where it said, work has started. Well, we're a week later in our cloud life, and the work is done. So this morning I had to change this slide stating, well, IaaS VM V2 series can be natively backupped. Oh, really? Yes, really. And again, I'll show you since we still have some 10 minutes to go. But if you're not familiar with this section down below, I think I must show you because it's awesome. And that's not American awesome, that's really awesome. If you think, well, I really like Azure, but I'm missing some functionality. Like, for instance, I'm missing some form of email notification and alerts for Azure backup. You, just as you're sitting behind your PC now, can just spill your ideas here. It's the Azure User Voice Feedback Forum. So, Azure backup to support ISVM V2? It has started. We are in public preview now. Anyone can currently back up their ISV2 VMs. VMs with premium storage disks is planned. Central administration capabilities for Azure backup is planned, and so on and so forth. If you have a look in the Azure backup and DPM section of the User Voice, we currently have 189 new ideas for functionality, and this really is where the product teams are getting their ideas from. If we see here, two ideas have started development, five are planned, 36 are completed, and 175 new ideas for functionality are under review. So go ahead, have a look there, and if you have a great idea for Azure backup and it's in there and you need my help in votes, reach out to me and I'll try to see where and how I can help. Yep. So now on to the demo. Because it's new functionality, It has landed already in the new Azure portal. When you have a look in all services, you're almost baffled every time you open it. Just scroll down to Recovery Services Vaults, which is in preview, but you can just actively use it. There's just no SLA on it yet. So Recovery Services Vaults is in preview. I've created one just for you. And this is where we see that in the past we had an Azure Site Recovery Vault and a backup vault. In this new setting, these two are combined. So in my Recovery Services Vault preview, I can do both site recovery and backup. Currently, we can do DPM to Azure backups, also towards a new vault, but you'll go through the same steps. So download the agent, download the vault credentials, configure them on client side, and then take it from there. In the future, as the new site would lead me to believe, we can in fact target specific DPM servers to back up to Azure from Azure. So, how that'll look, I don't know, but that's what I get when I'm doing backup management servers, for instance. When I currently look at what I've protected the MSPG Prod Azure 01. It's an Azure virtual machine, and I'm backing that up every night at 11 o'clock. So that's why the backup policy is called 11 o'clock. When I look what type of VM this is, I'll head over to virtual machines. And here is my MSPG Prod Azure 01. If it would be a V1 VM, it would be displayed in Virtual Machines Classic. And there is the Azure Backup VM01 we backed up in the earlier demo. All right, so that is in public preview. That was a small demo of the future. Pricing then. Pricing is done through the amount of data consumed for backups. This has just been taken from the Azure website. If you want to make a clear upfront calculation for your customers, you'll have to have some form of indication how much data is he going to consume throughout the years. This is, of course, a monthly price, and this will suffice for a next finish VM. So that'll leave us for with about 3 till 10 minutes. I have time today for you guys for some Q&A. If I can add some more to this discussion, let me know.